Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, of course we're going to speak about the two momentous decisions that the evil U.S. Supreme Court made last week, which mean that the United States of America is on the road to self-destruction. America will be destroyed and will not survive if we continue down this path. And America is going down that path very quickly. In fact, it may already be too late. I don't know. We may have reached the point of no return. That's possible. If next year, by some miracle, the American people wake up and decide to elect a good president like Ted Cruz, then America has some hope. Then possibly the situation can be turned around, because Ted Cruz, I think, would reverse some of these terrible policies. At least I hope so. But if that doesn't happen, if America continues down this path, the United States is finished. What are the two decisions the Supreme Court made last week? The first one involves, of course, Obamacare. Once again, the Supreme Court affirmed this illegal, unconstitutional socialist government takeover of health care in America. Obamacare means that the federal government bureaucrats can get in the way of your health care. A federal government bureaucrat can get between you and your doctor. And I know from personal experience, having, as everybody who listens to this program knows, having had the situation earlier this year with my mother developing an aggressive cancer, and thank God she still appears to be cancer-free, thank God, up until this point, at least, Baruch Hashem, thank God. But several months ago, my mother had an aggressive cancer. And we wanted to get her to a cancer specialist that could deal with her type of cancer, which was a pretty rare form of cancer. Because of Obamacare and because of the limitations placed upon her health care plan, she was unable to get the doctor that we really wanted. She was unable to be put in the hospital that she wanted to be placed in. Instead, she went to a hospital that was like a third world jungle. She got a doctor who was adequate, who did a decent job, I think, on the surgery. But all the other staff around him treated her badly, and it was a very bad experience. And for an 82-year-old lady who has an aggressive form of cancer, to be in that situation, it's life-threatening. And many Americans in situations like this won't get out alive, God forbid, because you'll get incompetent doctors, terrible hospitals, health plans that don't cover you the way they should, or that don't cover the type of treatment you need. And so in a country where the majority of the American people will develop heart disease during their lifetime, where one-third of the American people are going to develop cancer in their lifetime, a majority of Americans become seriously ill at some point in their lives. Many people become seriously ill several times in their lives and urgently require competent medical care. Obamacare gets in the way of that. Obamacare socializes medicine, and you know, socialism never works. The Soviet Union, when they tried true socialism, tens of millions of people were dying of starvation, literally dying of starvation. In Korea, where they tried socialism, 2 million people died of starvation just in the past few years because they tried a socialist system in North Korea. In China, when Mao Zedong attempted a real socialist system, 30, 40 million Chinese people died of starvation. Socialism is like gangrene on the economy. It literally causes the downfall of society and complete starvation. That's why the Soviet Empire collapsed. That's why China, communist China, has many capitalistic elements in their economy, because otherwise they'd all be starving to death. And a country like North Korea that did not introduce capitalism into their economy, the people there are starving to death. But Barack Hussein Obama and the U.S. Supreme Court and the news media and the Democrat Party have imposed upon the American people socialism when it comes to something so essential as health care, as our survival when we become sick. And the Republicans, most of the Republicans go along with this, even though they claim to be against it. It's all lip service. They're not really going to fight it. When a courageous Republican like Ted Cruz tries to really stand up and do something about it, they say, oh, you're closing down the government. As if that's such a tragedy, closing down the federal government. The best thing you can do for the American people would be to get rid of most of the federal government. But anyway, tragically, we have an evil Supreme Court. And John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice that was appointed by Bush, he ruled in favor of Obamacare in 2012, the first time, and Obama was reelected because of that. If he had ruled against Obamacare, John Roberts, the Republican appointee who was supposed to be a conservative Republican, and Bush was promising us this was a conservative Republican, a strict constitutionalist, yeah, sure. He ruled in favor of Obamacare in 2012, about six months before the election. If he had ruled against Obamacare, then Obama wouldn't have been reelected. Obama would have lost reelection, because that would have made most of his first term seem absurd to the American people, that he spent so much time for this, and then it ends up being eliminated by the Supreme Court after all the time and effort that he put into it in his first term, that he invested in creating this system. He would have been defeated for re-election. But John Roberts, the Republican Supreme Court Justice, got Obama re-elected and affirmed Obamacare in 2012. Now, once again, it was challenged. And the challenge certainly should have been granted, because Obamacare is completely illegal and completely unconstitutional. But the Supreme Court again ruled in favor. So that's the disastrous situation we're in, and you have a Republican control of both houses of Congress, and they're not going to do anything about it. So unless we get a Republican president like Ted Cruz, not like Jeb Bush or some other sellout, Jeb Bush or Rand Paul or some other sellout, Marco Rubio is a sellout also. Unless we get a Republican president like Ted Cruz who will try to reverse these policies and who will work to reverse these policies, I don't see how this country gets out of this. This is the type of rot, economic rot, societal rot, that led to the downfall of other countries and other empires. That was the first terrible ruling, and the second ruling, as you know, was even worse. The second ruling orders all 50 states to perform sodomite marriages, marriages between two men and two women. In other words, the United States of America as a nation is officially putting its stamp of approval on something which the creator of the universe, the God of the universe, has said is an abomination. Toeva, it says in Hebrew. Toeva means abomination. The God of the universe warns nations that if they engage in this type of behavior, they will face destruction. If the United States goes down this path, if this is what the United States is going to do, what the Supreme Court said the United States has to do, if that is not reversed somehow, then God would have to apologize to Sodom ve'Amorah. God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah if he allowed America to exist. This is the end of America if America goes down this road. So that's the situation that we're in, a bad situation. And again, the last hope to turn it around, if you want America to survive, if you don't want America to be destroyed. And when I say destroyed, I mean destroyed. I mean, what if America becomes a third world banana republic? If America becomes like some African or Latin American or Asian primitive third world country, is that going to be a nation worth living in? What's the point? And that is where America is headed. If you want America to be saved, if you want the situation turned around, the presidential election next year takes on more importance than ever before. And as you know, we're supporting Ted Cruz. We're supporting him because he's better for America, and, of course, he's also better for Israel. America's policy toward Israel will also lead to the destruction of America. You go against Israel, God destroys nations that go against Israel. So, I think you knew what our position is on this issue, and I think we all understand what a terrible tragedy is that we have a Supreme Court and an establishment in America that is determined to have America go down the same destructive path that led to the destruction of every other nation, every other empire that tried this was destroyed in the end, that tried socialism or that permitted homosexuality and actually approved of it and encouraged it, which is what the United States is officially doing now. That's the end of the United States. Unless the American people wake up and unless this situation is turned around in next year's presidential election, that is the, in my opinion, it's the end. I don't see how the United States gets out of this. I just don't see it. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to try to influence the presidential election as much as we can and try to do the best we can to influence the situation. And we have an obligation, of course, to try to influence things. We're not allowed to be silent when there's immorality and evil in the world. We have to speak up. That's part of the role that the Jewish people are supposed to play as a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests. And look at the distortion that we see in the world today. The Jews are supposed to be a light unto the nations. And 3 out of the 9 Supreme Court justices are Jewish, and all 3 of them rule on the wrong side of every major issue. On the most evil side. They make the most evil rulings. The people that's supposed to be a light unto the nations, doing this terrible Chilul Hashem, which means desecrating the name of God. It's really terrible. And that's why JTF is so important, because we're the only ones who are going to give you this politically incorrect, uncompromising, undiluted message. And that is exactly what we need to hear now, an undiluted, uncompromising message. JTF's the only Jewish group I know of that gives you that type of message. And we need a Jewish group, specifically a Jewish group, involved in this, giving this type of message. Because again, the Jews are supposed to be a leading force for good in the world. They're supposed to be a light unto the nations. Or la'amim, it says in the Bible, a light unto the nations. And a holy nation, a nation of priests. And when the Jews don't play that role, everything in the whole world is distorted. Everything in the whole world is upside down. That's why what we're doing is so important. We've got to speak out, and we've got to show that there is a strong Jewish voice for morality and for truth and for righteousness and for justice and for what God commands Jews and Gentiles to do. And, of course, we're also nearing a conclusive point in the negotiations on Iran, the nuclear bomb-making program of Iran, which Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton want to enable them to create nuclear bombs. That's what this agreement would do. This will pave the road for them to have nuclear bombs, God forbid. And, we already have discussed many times the catastrophic consequences of that. Once again, JTF is the only organization saying, hey, you've got to bomb those nuclear facilities and militarily solve this problem. There is no other solution, and it can be solved militarily. It can be, and it must be. I know that all of my fellow JTFers who are listening to this message, you understand how important it is. And you understand that if we get stronger, the voice of truth is stronger. And it gives us a better chance to wake more and more people up, which is so essential. We are obligated, succeed or fail, we are obligated to speak out. We are obligated to fight the battle, to fight the good battle. Otherwise, we will be blamed for the bad things that happen. Anyone who doesn't do what they're supposed to do. If bad things are happening in the world, even if you're not part of it, but you don't do something about it, you're going to be blamed too on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. You're going to be asked, why didn't you do something about these things? Why didn't you do something to correct the evils in the world that are taking place now? And if you're apathetic and indifferent or saying, well, I had my own life, I had my own things that I was involved with, I don't think that answer is going to go over very, very well at all. I really don't. I'm not telling people, and you know on JTF we never tell people that you shouldn't take care of your own life. Of course you should take care of your own life. You have a job, you should continue to work and excel in your job. You have a family to support. You have to support your family. You have to be concerned and love your family and support them and do everything you can to help them. You should also educate yourself and you should also educate yourself religiously. Jews must learn Torah on a regular basis, are required to. You should be educating yourself and you should be bettering yourself in the world. All of that's essential, true. But after you've done all that, you should also find time to try to make this a better world, to do something to try to make this a better world. Those of you that are active in JTF, you're trying. You're doing something. And that's important. We need your help if we're going to influence next year's presidential election, if we're going to help wake people up in America and Israel before it's too late. We need your help. And there are four things we ask people to do. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray that we succeed in what we're trying to do. Pray for our success. Number two, of course, when you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, and I just put up a couple of Hebrew videos today. I didn't put them on the English forum. I don't know. I think maybe I should put them on the Hebrew forum, on the English forum as well. Two important Hebrew videos that I just put out today. But when you see us put up on the English forum Hebrew and English videos, because you know we do videos all the time, help us promote those videos. Even if you don't speak Hebrew, you can like and comment and favorite and, you know, and try to promote the videos on Facebook and on YouTube. Help us promote the Hebrew and the English videos. That's the second thing. So first, we need your prayers. Second, we need you to help us promote the Hebrew and English videos. Third, we need people to become more active on our great news pages. If you speak Hebrew, on our Hebrew news page, hayamin.org. If you don't speak Hebrew and you only speak English, then at least on the English page, jtf.org. Comment. Get involved. Make sure you check our pages out and check the news stories out all the time, because when you check us out and when you comment and when you're involved, and you promote the page, that helps us with the search engines and it helps us reach more people. So that's the third thing. And the fourth and final thing, of course, our big downfall is that we don't have money. The amount of money we raise is woefully inadequate. The more money we raise, the more people we can reach and the stronger we are in our message. The more people we can reach to tell people to support Ted Cruz for president, the more people we can reach to fight against Hillary Clinton's presidential candidacy, which would be a catastrophe for everybody. The more we can do to wake the people of Israel up about the threat in Iran and other threats to the Jewish people. The more we can do to just warn people about the general decline in morality and the need to wake people up fast, because moral decay leads to catastrophic consequences for society. Every check, every money order, every cash donation makes us stronger. Obviously, the more money we have, the more people we can reach, the more effective we are. And so we need your help. God bless the great JTFers. God bless those of you out there, you know who you are, who on a regular basis generously help JTF, who enable us to reach hundreds of thousands of people. We have hundreds of thousands of views on our videos in Hebrew and hundreds of thousands of views on our videos in English. And I hope that that will have an impact on the presidential election next year, and I hope it will also have an impact on Israel. But we want to make it, we want to make it as big as possible. We want our numbers to be as big as possible, because the more people we reach, the better. You understand how important that is, and so God bless those of you who have made it possible for us to reach people, who have made it possible for us to do what we're doing, and God willing, who will make it possible for us to influence events in the future. If you want to have an impact, if you want to influence things, we need your help. Now, some people send us support through the mail, with checks or money orders or cash donations through the regular mail to our post office box. Other people prefer to do it online for convenience sake with their credit card. That's very easy to do if you want to do that. You just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and on hayamin.org on top there's a donate button in English. The donate button is in English. I think it's probably the only English word on the Hebrew page. The rest is all in Hebrew. So you should find it right away. You click on that button and in several minutes you can conveniently, through PayPal, make a donation to our cause and help us make a difference. Help us reach more people. Help us wake more people up. Help us make a difference, God willing. I don't think the situation is hopeless. In America, it might be. In America might go down, but Israel, as we know, in the end is going to be redeemed, that's for sure. Terrible things can happen to Israel in the meantime, God forbid, and that's something we want to avoid, but Israel will never be completely destroyed. That cannot happen and will not happen. America can be. We don't want America to be destroyed, and we certainly don't want the people in Israel to suffer or large numbers to be killed, God forbid, or other terrible things to happen. So we're involved, and we're going to do everything we can to influence events, and we need your help to make a difference. If we work together as a team, we can make a difference. And so we appeal to people again. Help us. I know this has been a long opening, but this was quite a week. Of course, the rulings weren't a surprise. We expected it. I think we all expected that they were going to rule in favor of Obamacare. They already did in 2012. But some people had their hopes up that maybe they would reverse that ruling because there was a new constitutional challenge. But I think realistic people knew that they're probably going to rule in favor. And we knew what they were going to do with the sodomite marriage ruling. But just because we knew it was coming doesn't mean it's not bad news. It's terrible news. And when the United States goes down this road, it influences countries throughout the world. It influences the whole world in a very bad way, because the United States has a tremendous, profound influence upon the thinking of the whole world. And that makes this a much more difficult world to live in. So we've got to fight and do what we can, and with your help, God willing, hopefully we'll make a difference. Again, we need your prayers. We need you to help us with the Hebrew and English videos that we put out all the time. We put out videos all the time. We need your help strengthening the activity on the great news page that the great Shlomo does for us at JTF.org, and we need your financial support. Financial support is absolutely essential, because the more financial support we get, obviously, the more we can do. Okay, let's go now to our questions from our great JTFers, and we start out with, Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss how important it is to drink enough water and what color your urine should be," unquote. Well, obviously, you have to drink enough water. I don't know what the exact amount is, and I don't think there's an exact amount. Everybody's different. But obviously, you have to drink enough water and have to have enough fluids in your body. Urine is supposed to be, of course, yellow. And your urine will get darker if you don't drink enough. People who do not drink enough and who don't have enough fluids in their body will usually have darker urine. And it's not healthy to go without enough fluid in your body. Of course, you can also overdo it. So you have to, sensibly drink water and drink healthy fluids. You ask what color your urine should be. As I mentioned, urine generally should be yellow. If it's a different color because of the food you're eating, sometimes, like if you eat beets, it can change the color of your urine temporarily. That's nothing to worry about. But if you're not eating a special type of food that does that, and God forbid your urine is red, that means that you have blood in your urine, and that's a serious problem. That blood in your urine usually means that you have an infection or, God forbid, that you have cancer. So that's something that has to be checked if somebody has that. That should be urgently checked. And again, if you see an unusual color, or if your urine has an unusual odor — urine usually doesn't have a very strong odor — if you have an unusual odor in your urine, that means you need to be checked. You need to ask the doctor. You need to ask a doctor whether or not there's a problem here. I hope that answers your question, Wandering Samurai. Of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you things that I've heard from doctors, but I'm not a doctor. And if anybody has a medical problem, you need to consult a good doctor. If someone does have a medical problem, you need to be in touch with a good doctor, a good competent doctor. And you can check doctors out, by the way, online. You can check out and see if they have lawsuits pending against them. You can check and see how they're rated by their patients. You can check them online, and you should do so. You just type their name into Google and check them. There are various sites where you can go and check them, and you should do that, especially if it's a serious condition, it's something serious. You should check doctors out beforehand. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, do you have any funny stories of what happened to you on the New York City subway or bus? Thanks," unquote. I don't have a funny story, no. I can't think of anything really funny right now. But recently on a bus, I'll share one thing with you that happened. Recently on a bus, there was a black driver on the bus. And this has happened to me a number of times, but it happened again last week. He started speeding like crazy and skipping stops. People are waiting in the hot summer. It was a very hot summer day, and it's in the hot sun. And he's skipping the stops while people are waiting, and he's driving, speeding like a maniac, like 90 or 100 miles an hour. I couldn't believe it. And the reason was because he was late. He wanted to get to the final stop on time because his supervisor was going to be there, and he was late. So he endangered everybody's life and endangered the lives of people on the road, endangered the lives of people on the bus. You can imagine a powerful vehicle like a bus crashing. The effect is, of course, catastrophic. God forbid. He endangered everybody's lives. He inconvenienced people who are waiting at stops, and he skipped the stops. This is the type of garbage that you have working in many cases in the New York, what they call the MTA, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York. I also noticed that in New York — I don't know if they do this in other cities — you wait and wait and wait for a bus. And then all of a sudden, three of the same buses come at once. And this happens all the time. Why the hell do two or three of the same buses come one after another? If they just split them, instead of having three buses come at once and you're waiting there a half hour, If you would just split the three buses up and have them come every 10 minutes, that would be much more convenient for the public. But no, they have to make everybody wait a half hour and all three come at once. It's just so disorganized. And for years, I've noticed that they have this system, that they do this, here in New York City, at least. Anyway, it's a terrible system in New York City. The New York City subway and bus system is horrific, absolutely horrific. And it's getting worse and worse. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "It's been 6 years since we lost Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson on the same day. Discuss Christian pilgrims to the Middle East. Are they at risk of Fakistinian takia?" Unquote. Lewinsky Stinks writes, "Then again, typical Israeli guides may not be a big improvement. How can Christians have a rewarding and safe experience in the Holy Land?" Unquote. Okay. Obviously, if you're going to have Arabs or Muslims as your guide, or you're going to go to Arab and Muslim sites, of course they're going to use taqiyya. Taqiyya meaning deception, which is what Muhammad ordered the Muslims to engage in. Obviously, you're going to have taqiyya. Obviously, they're going to give you propaganda, and they're going to lie, and they're going to twist things, of course. And they're not going to tell you that the Muslims are murdering all the Christians in the Middle East. They're committing genocide against the Christians in the Middle East. That they won't tell you. And when you say that typical Israeli guides may not be a big improvement, that's usually true also. I mean, these leftist, if it's leftist Israeli tour guides, or from the establishment, the Israeli government, you know, they also do propaganda against their own people. They stab their own people in the back to show how impartial and objective and progressive and enlightened they are. Yeah, you have that also. Christians, I would suggest that if a Christian, or if people in general, not just Christians, people in general want to go to the land of Israel, if they want to go to Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem, I would suggest in Judea and Samaria that they go to a Christian organization like John Hagee's group or some other group, and that the tour be coordinated with the local Jewish settlers and the local Jewish settlements. You'll have the most rewarding trip possible, because those are the best Jews in Israel. Those are Jews who believe in God and believe in the Holy Land, and they're there for the right reasons. Those are the Jews that you really admire. Those are the Jews. You'll see Jews there that would be what you'd expect to see of the Jewish people, the type of Jews you'd expect to see from the people of the Bible. Jews that have large families and are very religious and are living on the frontier in Judea and Samaria with their big families, and who love the land of Israel, are loyal to the land of Israel. Those are the best people. Those are the people you really want to see, and you want them to be giving you a guided tour. That's what I would suggest. I'd suggest you visit Judea and Samaria, and that you coordinate it with the Jewish settlements and the Jewish settlers there. That's something that most tours don't do, and I think it's really, I think it would really be beneficial to do so. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Please take a look at the article and rebuke it." Well, I can't really read the article now while I'm doing the program, Smash Islam, but I can read the headline, and I think I understand from the headline. Yeah, I see where this guy's coming from. Okay, I understand where he's coming from. Complete your response with a CBP blessing, quote unquote, to whomever wrote this rag. Well, you know, look, this is someone who's writing that the Taliban and the Muslim terrorists and the evil Muslims are using Old Testament law, you know, which is basically saying what this evil person is saying. He's accusing God. Who wrote the Jewish Bible? God. So he's accusing God of being a terrorist and of being a murderer and of being genocidal. I hope I don't have to tell my fellow JTFers what's going to happen to somebody who dares to make statements like that against the God of the universe. What's going to happen to them on Judgment Day? And of course, you know, the evil, I mean, the evil, monstrous comparison of the Jews to the Muslims. The Jews in the Bible, it's true that the Bible does say that the Jews are required to destroy their enemies. When their enemies want to destroy them, the Jews are required to expel them from the land or destroy them. First, give them a chance to leave. First, give them a chance to leave. Before the Jews came in from the land of Egypt, after wandering for 40 years in the Sinai, when they came in, they gave the local nations a chance to leave. The murderous nations, the horrible, murderous, vicious Nazis of those days, monsters that lived in the land, who used to throw their little children in fires and sacrifice them to their gods, and just the horrible, violent things. I don't even want to mention some of the horrible things they did. But anyway, these cruel, vicious, sadistic, evil people, the Jews came and said, look, we're giving you a chance to leave. You can leave voluntarily, or we're going to go to war with you and we're going to destroy you. The Girgashim, one of the nations, left. They left. And the Jews didn't touch them. The other ones said, no, we're not going to leave. We're going to fight you. And, of course, the Jews were obligated to destroy them. They didn't completely destroy them as God commanded, and they wound up paying a big price for that. But the Jews are required to expel or destroy their enemies. If they're dealing with a cruel, monstrous enemy that wants to destroy the Jewish people, the Jews are required to do to them what they want to do to the Jewish people. That's biblical law. Now, in the Quran, it's a different story. And by the way, the Jews are only required to take such action in their homeland. The Jews have a certain piece of real estate in this world. It's called the land of Israel. That belongs to the Jewish people. God gave that land to the Jewish people. He doesn't want evil, vicious, cruel, monstrous people living in that land. And so there are certain things God wants them expelled. And if they refuse to leave, then you have to make war against them and destroy them. Those are the rules of the Torah. Okay. Now, in the Quran, that's complete justice. It's completely justified and complete justice. And any normal, sane person would understand that that's the right, that's very right. Actually, it's 100% righteous. Now, compare that to the Quran. The Quran says that the Muslims have to conquer the entire world, not one little country, not one little land so that the Jews should have one place where they could live. No, the Muslims have to conquer the entire world and impose their evil Nazi religion of falsehood and lies on everybody in the whole world and exterminate or forcibly convert every single non-Muslim in the world. That's what the Quran commands. And that's the meaning of jihad. So this piece of garbage is comparing Judaism to that? You mean the Jews are commanded to conquer the whole world and forcibly convert or murder every non-Jew? That's what Judaism commands of the Jews? I mean, you know, Judaism is God's word. It is the most righteous, magnificent doctrine. It's way beyond anything that we could ever create because we're human beings. This is God's laws. It's the perfect guide to life and to the future of the world. And this piece of garbage is comparing it to these vicious, hateful Muslims. You know what it's like? It's like saying Eichmann, yimach shmo, murdered 6 million Jews. And after he murdered the 6 million Jews, he said before he was hanged in Israel, when they captured him and they hanged him, he said, I go to my grave laughing, knowing that I murdered 6 million Jews. That's what he said. You know what it's like? It's like saying that Eichmann murdered 6 million Jews and the Jews hanged him. So it's the same thing. You see? They're both murderers. That's what it's... Or it's like saying, oh, look at this. Osama bin Laden murdered 3,000 Americans on 9/11. The United States soldiers killed Osama bin Laden. Same thing. You see, they're both murderers on both sides. No difference. This is the sickest, most evil, most amoral type of Nazi thinking imaginable. The most evil type of thinking. And that's why God says, and that's why we're taught in the Talmud, that if you have mercy on the cruel, in the end, you'll be cruel to the merciful. And that always happens. You'll notice that the people who are merciful toward the cruel, who are merciful toward the Muslim terrorists and toward the Muslim Nazis and toward all the evil people in the world, the people that are merciful toward them are cruel toward the righteous people. That's how it works out. Because if you're merciful toward the evil people and the cruel people, you become cruel and evil eventually. They infect you with their wickedness. And you wind up being cruel toward the righteous. But that's something that, and that is Jewish law, and that is what really happens in this world. Anyway, this type of Nazi anti-Semitism and comparison, and these types of comparisons, they're always a vicious, sick people, and that's just something that, you know, that's something that exists in the world, but of course eventually they're going to be destroyed. People that think, that say things like this are going to face destruction in this world and in the next. And of course, you want me to give them the blessing. Of course, someone who writes something like this, I give them the blessing of Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshayim Yirkav, which means may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I am insulted when people say that the Confederate flag is not as bad as the swastika. No, I'm sorry. Let me reread that. I am insulted when people say that the Confederate flag is as bad as the swastika, unquote. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't read it right the first time, Chicago Jew. yeah, of course it's insulting. It's an outrage. First of all, that really is demeaning the meaning of the Holocaust. That is really, really making the Holocaust into a joke when you compare it to the Confederacy. The swastika represents the cruelest, most evil crime in human history, the murder of over 6 million Jewish men, women, and children solely because they were Jewish, in the most brutal way ever in history. That was the worst brutality and cruelty in history. And to compare that to the Confederacy is an obscenity. It's an insult to the 6 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust. It's an insult to the victims of Nazism. It's an outrage. It was really belittling the Holocaust. Irv Rubin, who was the head of the JDL, he committed suicide when he was in prison, but he was the head of the JDL. He used to burn the swastika next to the Confederate flag. He used to burn both of them. He used to say it's the same thing. And he called me a racist, and he called Rabbi Kahana a racist because we were against Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson is not a racist. Jesse Jackson, who supports Louis Farrakhan, is not a racist, and who says the Jews are Haimis and Israel and New York is Haimi town, and the Jews only want to talk about Israel. That's all they want to talk about. Yeah, he's not a racist. Anyway, what can I say? I agree with you, Chicago Jew. I agree with you. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, one, I think that the white Nazi animal that killed the blacks in the South Carolina church did damage to the Confederate cause. Two, isn't that animal trailer park trash? He dropped out of ninth grade. He's not that smart. What could he have accomplished? He's too stupid to realize that everyone worships blacks in the media, and he added to their worship of blacks. Wasn't it just a stupid thing like when Irv Rubin planned to blow up a mosque, unquote. I agree with you, Benjamin. I agree with you. I think it was stupid, and this Nazi, you know, when these Nazis do things, it backfires. And this certainly backfired. I agree with you. And when Irv Rubin wanted to blow up a mosque, it also was going to backfire. I mean, it was also dumb. The same Irv Rubin, by the way, who called me a terrorist for damaging property to free Soviet Jews, which was something that did help the situation tremendously. And then he goes out and wants to do something idiotic like this. Anyway, I agree with you, Benjamin. Good point. And now we go to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, rank your most to least favorite GOP candidates who are running. Which ones would you never vote for president? And predict the last five standing, unquote. Okay. My most favorite to least favorite. Well, my favorite candidate, of course, is Ted Cruz. The second would be Mike Huckabee, even though I don't think he has a chance of winning, but he's running. He'd be my second. The third, maybe Scott Walker. Big question mark, though. I don't like, there's a lot about Scott Walker that I don't like. But as a lesser of the evils, I would probably have to pick Scott Walker as the third. And I hope that we don't have to settle for him, but he would probably be the third. Many of the candidates are not serious candidates. I'm not going to... Donald Trump is just a publicity, you know, publicity-seeking piece of garbage who, unfortunately, is going to do real damage to the Republican image, to the image of the Republican Party by running, and he's going to wind up hurting us. And then you have other candidates running with no chance of winning. The worst candidates, let's see... you want me to go most to least, so each candidate will be progressively worse. Marco Rubio is a bad candidate. I would not want him. Jeb Bush is even worse than that. Jeb Bush is a terrible candidate. Ben Carson, terrible. Ben Carson's a black guy running for president who's a neurosurgeon. He has no political experience. He supports Al Sharpton. He says, my goal is the same as Al Sharpton's goal. He defends the most evil things. He defends blacks that beat women up, that knock a woman unconscious in an elevator. He defended that guy. He said with last week's ruling, he was the only one of the Republican candidates who said with last week's ruling, I accept it. It's the law of the land. That's it. Let's move on. You know, just terrible. And he says, I support gay civil unions. That's a conservative? I mean, just terrible. A terrible candidate, complete phony. And, of course, the worst Republican candidate is Rand Paul. He's the worst of them all. He actually is just as bad as Hillary Clinton. The other candidates, I know I didn't mention some other candidates, but I don't think they're serious. I don't think guys like Rick Perry or Santorum, I mean, they don't have a chance of winning. In my opinion, I don't think they do. Rick Perry, you know, there's a saying in Texas about Rick Perry, he was the former governor of Texas, that he's the only person who could make George W. Bush look like a genius. So, and I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I'm hoping, Dr. Dan, for Ted Cruz, but the odds are overwhelmingly against him. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't know who we're going to wind up with as the Republican candidate. We'll do our best to influence things, and we'll see how it turns out. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, is it better to pirate movies and shows as it bankrupts Hollywood, or is it still stealing? Unquote. Well, obviously, stealing is immoral, generally speaking, but, you know, Hollywood is so evil, and the people in Hollywood are so evil, that even though I don't advocate anything illegal on this program, I'm not going to advocate people going out and pirating movies or shows or doing something illegal, but I will say that on a moral level, I feel no sympathy for Hollywood. What anybody does to Hollywood, I feel no sympathy for them. Because they're just Morally, they're destroying the whole world. PMN writes now. So, in other words, just to clarify that. In other words, I'm not. I can't advocate anything illegal, but I can say I don't shed any tears for Hollywood. I don't think people should take chances and do something illegal just so they could see a movie. I'm not advocating that. But I do not feel sorry for Hollywood, no matter what anybody does to Hollywood. They deserve everything they get. PMN now writes, explain 40 years in the desert. Is 40 symbolic or literal? Unquote. No, it is literal. They spent 40 years in the desert. The Jews were wandering for 40 years in the Sinai. It is literal. And there are people who live, you have Bedouin who live in the Sinai for centuries. I know the Jews, though, it's more miraculous because it was a large group of people coming out of Egypt, very large group. But miraculous things happen. And that was a great miraculous period, and they were in that desert for 40 years. Thank you, PMN. And we go now to Paper Cut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, bless you and shalom. One, has God given Israel, U.S. over to the fags? Unquote. Well, God forbid, but unfortunately, there are people in Israel and the U.S. who want that to happen. And of course, it's a terrible tragedy, but we have to fight it. We have to fight it. Israel will never be completely destroyed. It can't be. God promises that in the end, the Jews are going to return and they're going to redeem the land and certain great things are going to happen. And we see it happening. I mean, we saw 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight. The desolate city shall become habitable again. I mean, one prediction after another. And then in the Talmud, the Chazal, the great rabbinic sages teaching us about all the things that we see happening with our own eyes now. There's no question that this Israel is the final Israel. That doesn't mean that there can't be terrible suffering and that a large portion of the Jews there could face destruction, God forbid, a large percentage. But Israel can never be completely destroyed. That can't happen. The U.S. can face complete destruction. And again, as I discussed this in my opening very extensively, Paper Cut, and it's a tragedy. But we have to fight it. And the presidential election next year becomes more important than ever. It might be our last chance to turn the situation around, certainly for the United States. Paper Cut now writes, too, at what point does he help his people and destroy the enemy? A great question. God and he and Paper Cut, when he says he has a capital H, so he's referring to God. Paper Cut, the truth is we don't deserve. I'm saying we, I'm not referring to anybody in particular, but we in general, society, our country, America, Israel, we do not deserve God's mercy. So much evil, so many terrible things. We don't deserve it, but God is very merciful. And so for his name's sake, this is what he told the prophet Ezekiel, for his name's sake, he intervenes. Remember how God wanted to destroy Israel a number of times in the desert. When they had the sin of the golden calf, which in Hebrew is Chet Ha'Egel, it's called Chet Ha'Egel, which means the sin of the calf. God told Moses, "I'll make a great nation out of you. I'll destroy them." And Moses prays and begs God. And finally, Moses convinces God by saying, "If you destroy the Jews now, in Egypt and nations of the world are going to see that, and they're going to say you didn't have the power to bring them into the land of Israel, and it'll be a desecration of your name." And that convinces God in the end. So for his name's sake, he mercifully, in the end, works against his enemies and redeems his people. That's how Moses was able to save the Jewish people after the sin of the golden calf. After the sin of the spies, when they sent out the Hameraglim, the spies, to spy out the land, and they came back and they gave a bad report on the land, and God again wanted to destroy the Jewish people. I mean, there were a number of times where God wanted to, where God said he was going to destroy the Jewish people and create a new Jewish people from the lineage of Moses. And Moses intervenes and saves the Jews over and over again by saying, if you do that, the nations of the world are going to see that, and it's going to be a desecration of your name. They're going to say, you didn't have the power to save your people. You didn't have the power to bring them into the land of Israel. And that does turn God's decisions around in the end. In the end, God will redeem the righteous. And may not happen in our lifetime, but that will eventually, someday that will happen. The good guys are going to win in the end. At what point does that happen? When God decides. When God decides that enough is enough. Don't forget, for us, this seems very long. Thousands of years of this, it seems very long. But what is thousands of years compared to eternity? When God brings the final redemption, it's going to be forever. Forever. So even thousands of years is nothing compared to forever. Thank you, Paper Cut. And we go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, please offer thoughts for all 9 U.S. Supreme Court judges. Okay, and we see them here, the list. Thomas, well, Thomas was appointed because he's black. He sometimes rules together with Scalia, which is good, but I will never forgive him or any other judge that ruled that Jerusalem is not part of Israel. There was a case before the Supreme Court recently where Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry were refusing to put on, when you had Americans who were born in Jerusalem who had dual citizenship, they would not put Jerusalem, comma, Israel. In any other country, if you're born in Paris, it says Paris, comma, France on your passport. London, comma, United Kingdom, UK. In Israel, Jerusalem, you wouldn't say Jerusalem, Israel, because the United States does not recognize Israel's right to her own capital city of Jerusalem. And so the Supreme Court was told to rule about this obscenity. The only country in the world, by the way, the United States will not recognize her capital. Israel's the only country in the world that is put in this situation with this anti-Semitic policy. And all the nations of the world have the same policy against Israel. So the Supreme Court was told to rule on it, and Thomas, the black affirmative action Supreme Court justice, who's supposed to be a conservative, he ruled against Israel. So I'll never forgive him for that. Next one is Scalia. Scalia, I like Scalia. He's the one guy on the Supreme Court. Out of all 9, he's the only one that I really like. He pretty much rules correctly on the issues. I like Scalia. And he's the smartest of all the Supreme Court justices by far. And the next one is John Roberts. Roberts is a pig. He was supposed to be a conservative Republican. He was appointed by Bush. And he's the one who affirmed the Obamacare. Obama was reelected thanks to him. You know, as I say in my opening, I explain in my opening why, but if Roberts had ruled against Obamacare in 2012, Obama would have been defeated for reelection. So Roberts is going to have a lot to answer when he goes before the real Supreme Judge, which is Hashem. And next is Kennedy. Oh, Kennedy's disgusting. Anthony Kennedy. Disgusting. He is so pro-gay, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes to the court with a dress on. I mean, he is disgusting. He is always promoting and defending the gays on the court. Just a real... And he's supposed to be a conservative Catholic and, just disgusting. And the next is Ginsburg. Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's, of course, is she ugly and hideous. She's the one who ruled against Jonathan Pollard. She agreed that they violated the agreement with him, but she said he has to spend the rest of his life in prison because of a technicality. He didn't file in time. He didn't file his appeal in time. Now, can you imagine if a black person had to spend 1 second extra in prison because of... You think on a technicality they would say you have to sit in prison for the rest of your life? because of some minor technicality like that? I mean, this, you know, her, she is such a, and this is someone who always is in favor of all the enemies of America and Israel, of the Jews, just hideous, hideous pig. Yimach shma v'zichra. And the next is Sotomayor, or Sotomayor. She's a Hispanic affirmative action appointee with her brains in her culo. I mean, a complete moron. A complete moron. She would, many cases, she has, in fact, almost all the cases, she has no idea what's going on. All the arguments go way above her head. She's a complete imbecile. Just a moron who was appointed solely because she's Hispanic and a woman. Complete idiot. And next is Breyer. He's a self-hating Jew. Another one like Ginsburg. Complete self-hating Jew. Always rules against his own people. Makes the most evil rulings. Just a complete traitor. Okay, Alioto is, well, he's better than the others. He usually rules with Scalia. So he's, I guess, the second best after Scalia. Scalia is the best. He's the second best. And finally, Kagan. Ugh, another Jew. Another hideous, self-hating Jew. Just disgusting. Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan. Three Jews on the Supreme Court, all of them ruling against everything God stands for. And they're supposed to be part of God's people. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. Thank you, E.B. And we go now to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, implications of Greece leaving the euro, especially upon Israel. I don't know what the implications are going to be. I mean, it depends how much of an impact it has on the European economy and what it leads to. I think the European economy is headed for a real rough time eventually. I don't know if it's going to happen right away because of Greece, because Greece has a relatively small economy. And so the impact, I don't know if the impact will be that great, but the entire economy of Europe is very, very vulnerable, and there's tremendous debt, and they have socialist economies. I think that they're in a lot of trouble long term, tremendous trouble long term. What that means for Israel, the European countries are hostile to Israel. They've set themselves up as enemies of Israel. And everything they do is hostile toward Israel. So I don't know. I don't know when I don't know if it's good or bad or indifferent when their economy goes down or up. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what the impact is going to be. You could see the rise of many neo-Nazi movements if the economy collapses. What would that do as far as Israel's concerned? I don't know. I don't know. It could lead to more European Jews making aliyah. And in some cases, that's good, I guess. We want Jews to make aliyah to Israel. In some cases, some of the Jews there that are assimilated, they're self-hating. I'm not sure I want them in Israel. It depends. It's like if all American Jews had to go to Israel, God forbid. A lot of American Jews, I don't want Ginsburg and Kagan and the Supreme Court justices. You want them in Israel. That's all we need is to have large numbers of people like that. We have enough leftist traitors in Israel. But we want the good Jews in Europe to go, so if it leads to good aliyah, you know, that's something that, of course, we want. And if the European economy is in trouble, whenever the European economy is in trouble, the number of people making aliyah goes up. So, we'll see. We'll see. There are many different... It's a complicated situation. It's a complicated situation. You can see the rise of more anti-Semitism in Europe. You see Europe becoming more and more hostile toward Israel. You see more and more Jews fleeing Europe. So all of that impacts Israel to one degree or another. The best thing for Israel would be to become independent of Europe and independent of the United States. And that's something that they can do but they can only do it if they have leaders that want to be independent. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And now we go to Guns N' Roses fan who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what is your opinion about the following men? One, Pastor Paul Begley. You know, he is such an aggressive missionary that I don't like him. I don't feel comfortable with him, and I don't like him. And he missionizes specifically toward the Jews. He directs his missionary activity toward Jews, so I don't like him. He claims he loves Israel, loves the Jewish people, but let me tell you something. That type of love we don't want. We don't want somebody coming to us and attacking our religious beliefs and attacking the legitimacy of our religious beliefs, not knowing what he's talking about when he does so. That type of love we don't want. If you love somebody, you're supposed to love them unconditionally. You're supposed to love them without your special interests playing a role here. Because if it's love based on special interests, then it's not real love. And his aggressive missionary activity directed toward Jews is something that I find very offensive. Two, Bishop T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is a black, Obama-loving, Muslim-loving piece of garbage. That's the only way I could... I don't know how else to describe him. He's supposed to be the head of a megachurch and always defending Obama, defending the Muslims, attacking Franklin Graham when he criticizes Islam, attacking... Anytime anybody says anything about Islam that's critical, this so-called Christian gets up and defends the Muslims. So, you know, obviously... Obviously, I don't like him. And three, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson is the lowest form of subhuman filth on the face of the earth. Pure scum. Pure scum. A vicious Nazi Jew hater who hates the Jewish people, who hates Israel, who supports Louis Farrakhan openly, who speaks as the warm-up speaker at Louis Farrakhan's Nazi rallies, the most vile Nazi Jew hater under the sun, like a black Hitler. And Guns N' Roses fan writes, thanks and may Hashem bless you, unquote. Thank you very much, Guns N' Roses fan. I appreciate it. Great questions. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, shalom.